Hi there. Welcome to Intentional Living Center. Today, Dr. Randy Carlson. And today it's marriage here at our center. We're going to get into the marriage department and talk about how when we're opposites, there's the attraction. They say opposites attract. How's that worked out for you in your marriage? In fact, how have you and your spouse dealt with your differences? They were exciting when you dated, maybe not so much today. We'll find out. Our line's open. Let's get intentional in the marriage department of Intentional Living as we talk about when opposites attract. 888-888-1717. Let's go.
From the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Our lines are open, 1-888-888-1717. That's 1-888-888-1717. Now, to help you be intentional for your marriage, here's Randy.
Very good. Thank you, Kurt, and welcome to Intentional Living today. You heard it said, you know, opposites attract. It's true. I think partly because we see something in another person that we admire. We say kind of, you know, I don't have that characteristic. Maybe you're more of a quiet person and you found yourself dating this outgoing kind of personality and it was attractive to you. And or the other way, maybe you're the outgoing kind of person. You found a person to date that was more reserved and stable, something you looked at in terms of that. I don't know. But we do see that opposites attract because we see something we admire. You know, we've heard the statement, you complete me. That, you know, you complete me. In other words, there's a hole somewhere and you fit it. Here's what I've experienced after years of counseling. You complete me then, you drive me crazy now. In other words, the very thing that attracts us to our spouse sometimes, not always, sometimes, can be the thing that drives us crazy. Oh, man, they were so outgoing and now they're so irresponsible and flighty. Or, wow, they were so responsible and I could count on them, and now they're predictable, boring, and stuffy. that can happen. So how do you negotiate the opposites in your marriage? 888-888-1717 is the number. You know, we're told in Proverbs 18:22 that he who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. I know that's true in my life. Got a great wife. 40-plus years. And I was thinking about that. Don and I are really in many ways alike. You know, our values, our priorities, how we view most things in life. But there are a couple things that Don and I were different. I'll tell you what they are in a little bit. I gotta gain my courage before I share. Okay, we'll get to that. Talk about when opposites attract. So how do you and your spouse deal with your differences? 888-888-1717.
My husband is encouraging quite frequently, which would seem like a typical thing to do. However, I grew up in a very critical household, and as a child, I always heard a lot of discouraging comments, a lot of negativity. I wasn't used to that when I got married, so my husband was constantly building me up, and 12 years later, he's still doing that, and tell you what, it's made all the difference in the world. Every day he tells me he loves me. Every day he tells me how wonderful I am. Every day he tells me about my strengths and my talents, and he doesn't seem to tire of it, so I'm just blessed.
Yes, you are. That's great. Boy, we need to do that. You know, I just finished a lesson with the staff that we're going to air in July on intentional living about in-law relationships. And one of the points I made, parent relationships. And one of the points I made was to encourage them, encouragement. And, you know, a word that's left unspoken or an encouragement that was never expressed can be very discouraging. And so speak a word that's going to encourage your spouse today. 888-888-1717 is the number. I'd love to have you come and join us today. We're focusing on when opposites attract. And you know, I mentioned that Don and I, we've been married, you know, 40-plus years. And probably the areas where Don and I have a difference, it kind of revolves around the house. You know, I didn't grow up with a dad who put a lot of emphasis on the home. What I mean is, you know, wanting to work in the yard and take, you know, do those kinds of things. So my nature isn't to do that. My brother, Larry, I mean, he loves that kind of stuff. And it just isn't something. I mean, I like doing it, but it's not something I think about. Hey, I can't wait till Saturday so I get to work in the house and paint things and clean things and do things. And Donna, her home is very important. Her home is very important to her. And it is to me, too. And so that's been an area we've had to negotiate sometimes. What I find, though, for myself is when I do get involved and do more things, I really enjoy the accomplishment of doing it because I am pretty handy. I can do those things. And so that's one area that we've had to negotiate over the years. And it's a matter of just, you know, being intentional in the relationship. I'd love to have you come and join us. Telephone number here is 888-888-1717. And we're talking about when opposites attract, how do you fit? What are the things that you do to make that relationship work? 888-888-1717.
Yeah, this is Mark, Panama City, Florida. In my marriage, intentionally, what I'm really working hard at, and something I should have been doing all along, is really pay attention to the little things as far as, you know, like having my wife's lunch made for her when she comes home for lunch, if I'm off, or we're meeting here for lunch at the house, making sure coffee's made in the morning, and surprising her with that, and just getting the habit of doing that every day so she doesn't have to get up and do that. You know, just little things. You know, it's a lot of little things that my wife really appreciates because it makes her feel loved and makes her feel that I really care and that I'm sensitive to her desires, her needs. It's made a big, huge difference in the past probably 3 months. You know, we've been married 14 years and you sort of, at least I did, I sort of got in the humdrums and, you know, I forget how important she is to me. I don't really forget, I take for granted. And I'm trying not to do that anymore because she's an awesome lady. God gave her to me, and I'm blessed to have her.
Boy, that's good. That's a great attitude. Let's go to the phones. Mike is on the line in Missouri. Hi, Mike. How you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Good. Appreciate your call. We're talking about differences. How have you and your spouse negotiated your differences, and what are they?
Well, you know, we're both different, totally different. I'm the artistic part of the marriage. She is the business VP of a bank, and I have ADD, and I've struggled with it all my life. And one of the things that we've been married for 14 years, two kids, young kids. We've struggled with a lot of things, probably one of the biggest things, you know, the last year we've had a lot of struggles. My son from a previous relationship passed away at 22 from a heroin addiction. Her family has alcoholism. We have come together and been pastored by our pastor at church here in Missouri. And we have started, again, the purpose-driven life, and that we have realized that it is not about us. It is about God. Mm-hmm. And that's really impacted our relationship. Our relationship was close to ending just because of that. You know, like you had said earlier, you know, when you start dating, the opposites attract and, right. You know, you're just curious about the other person and, oh my gosh, she's totally different, you know, for me. And he's totally different from, you know, so the biggest thing is that, you know, we've made God number one, you know, and that's what it's all about and serving others We've come to the conclusion that, you know, we've spent 14, total of 16 years together. And, you know, that we know that we're different from each other. She struggles with, you know, with my ADD and not remembering things. And I struggle with her let's say, being messy at home. I have to pick up after three kids, and I'm a stay-at-home dad. And it's tough to meet in the middle, when I'm not business-like and I don't match her intellect, I guess you could say, and she doesn't match my vision, my visionary artistic, I'm a photographer, video and all that. And that's one of the biggest things that we've, starting purpose-driven life again, after 14 years and the marriage kind of gets, the honeymoon has been over for a long time.
Well, I think, Mike, what you're saying is, when Rick Warren starts his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, with that initial sentence, it's not about you. That's a great, powerful opening for a book, because it's a reminder that life, marriage, and so on is not just about us. The Bible says, think not only of your own interest, but also the interest of others. Paul tells husbands, hey, listen, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Everything that we see in our Christian experience is around experiencing through service to those around us. It's through the service within a marriage that we find, that's where I think we find we're complete. But you bring two people together. You're saying you're ADD and she's more structured and she's coming at things more from a business perspective. You come more from the right brain, the creative part. The beautiful thing is when we can complement each other. And when I see in Donna, she has strengths, and I tell people, Donna's perceptive, she's aware of things, she's sensing things, at times way beyond what I'm picking up. And a smart guy learns to listen to his wife and a wife or husband, because together, two are better than one, what the scripture says, if we let that happen. If we don't, it can blow up. Mike, thanks for your call from Missouri. We're going to go to Tina in a moment in Georgia. He's a big spender, she's a saver. When money's a problem, when opposites attract, how do you deal with it? That's Intentional Living today.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Our lines are still open, 1-888-888-1717. Dr. Randy's got more for you. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
The Bible holds instruction for living a life that pleases Christ. And every month, Dr. Randy Carlson shares another teaching on CD with the monthly members of Intentional Living.
Look at Nehemiah. He's proactive before anything else. He's taking full responsibility for the state that they're in. He focuses on the promises. He comes to God as a first resort. How can that not lead to joy? God answers his prayer, and God completes his work.
Become a monthly member and help us reach others with the message of intentional living. Call 888-888-1717 or go to theintentionallife.com. Share your voice, your story, your passionate perspective with the staff at Intentional Living. Just call 888-888-1717. We really want to know your ideas for future programs. Or we'd love to hear your story, because you might encourage other listeners. And we'd love to hear about the issues you're facing that Dr. Carlson can help with. So tell us what's on your heart today. Call 888-888-1717 and talk to us at Intentional Living.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Very often, you'll hear me invite you to join our prayer community. You'll find all sorts of requests that are crying out for you to pray for them, and some praises that are asking you to rejoice with them. Paul tells us in Romans 12, rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. And I know there are thousands in our prayer community that will appreciate you standing with them in prayer. Join today at www.theintentionallife.com/prayer. Dr. Randy.
All right. Thank you. I hope you'll do that. By the way, our prayer community is huge. A lot of friends who are just praying for each other, encouraging each other. Just check it out. We're there for you. When money is an issue, we're going to Tina. And then Teresa talks about cultural differences. We'll get to that. We'll get to you in a minute. Teresa, hang on. Let's go to Tina in Georgia. Hi, Tina.
Hi.
Hi there. How are things in Georgia today?
Pretty sunny and beautiful, as usual.
Oh, that's good. Beautiful sunny day. Hey, it says here that it has to do with money. He's the spender, you're the saver, huh?
Yes. He's always spending. He doesn't think about it. And
what kind of problems did that create for you guys?
Well, the spontaneous spending, it messes up your credit. That's what it will do.
Yeah.
You know, you're spending, I'm spending, we both have the same account, but no communication, that doesn't work very well.
So more went out than came in, and then your credit gets whacked.
Right. And then you're late, and you don't know why you're late. Just little things happen, and you want to preserve that.
Now, did that create problems between you? I mean, did you argue? Did it create tension in the marriage?
Well, because it does. It's like kind of stressful to have someone to keep spending, and you're the opposite. You want to save. And I don't know where we're going to be or what we're going to do, but, you know, I just want to have enough for our retirement at the end of the day. So I like to save and he likes to spend.
Do you guys have anything set aside?
Yes, we do. Because of me.
All right.
Because of me, we do. But he's getting it. Like I said, we've been married, 27 years now? So he finally gets it. Like, okay, I can't do this anymore. She's right. You really do have to buckle down.
Yeah, so he's kind of let you be the lead dog on this one, huh?
Yes, I've taken the reins already for the last 5 years, and it has made a difference.
Now, do you guys talk about it, though? Do you sit down and work on a budget so he kind of knows what's going on?
We put the incomes together. We already have joint accounts. I mean, because, you know, when you marry, you have one. There's mm-hmm. no separate accounts. But mm-hmm. he can't go into it without discussing it with me first, and we don't make big decisions without each other. You know, approval, because, you know, can't live life like that.
No, you can't. That's good. That's the way to do it. Excellent. Well, I'm glad you guys got over that hump and didn't let it destroy you, because money can do that in marriage.
Oh, yeah.
So you guys have a plan now? You're saving for the future?
Plan.
Good for you.
Saving for the future. And we have grandkids now, so we're saving for sure now.
Yeah, that's terrific. Congratulations. Thank you, Tina.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Let me go to Teresa in Michigan. Cultural differences. That's thank you for your call.
Well, I am African-American. My husband is Caucasian, so that's the cultural difference. Lotions, like I use lotion, he doesn't. He washes his hair every day. Those food, it's just so many little cultural differences, but we make it work. Mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful thing because we know that at the end of the day we are one, and we learn from each other's cultural experiences and make our marriage great based on us having two different cultural backgrounds mm-hmm. or ethnicities.
So what are some of the issues you face beyond that? Has it been in with family? Has it been more difficult in terms of being different from a different cultural experiences?
Well, when it comes to Thanksgiving and our family and our Black community, we take holidays like Thanksgiving and Christmas big. My grandmother, before she went to heaven, she would cook anything you could think of. She would cook it. And dressing, for instance, in our family, we call it dressing. In his family, it's like stovetop stuffing. And I'm like, I've never ate stuffing out of a box. So when it comes to holiday events or stuff like that, that's the difference. Our families, I get along because we're all Christians, which is awesome. I didn't come into a marriage where they didn't like me because I was Black, or they didn't like him because he was Caucasian. The only person that did have the only person who would tell me stories was my grandmother, because she grew up in that era where it was racism and it was rough to, you know, be a Black woman back in the 30s and the 40s. But at the end of the day, she ended up, you know, loving and accepting my husband. I act like his mom. He says I have a lot of his mom, you know, in me. He acts like my dad. They have a lot of the same similarities. So we get along. It's great. It's a blessing to not have it. Now, people of the outside world, they're the ones that have issues. People on the street, you walk by, you're holding hands, and they'll say, oh, you done left the brothers, or you could sleep with the white man you're sleeping with them because you want to. You know, back in the days, you were forced to. So those are just some of the little things that people say, you know, about us. Or if you guys have children, your children are going to be beautiful because you're mixed race, and it's just some stupidity that goes along with that. So mm-hmm. I would love for you to do a show on mixed race, mixed families.
We'll do that.
Because our voices do matter. We do have a, a lot to say. And also, one more thing. I just have a quick little thing, and I'll hang up. My husband and I, we do have separate bank accounts. Now, what I mean by that is I have a credit union. I've been with my credit union for 15 years, and he has a bank account. He's on my account. I'm on his account. But the reason why we have separate is because I can get a better rate with the credit union versus he can get a better rate with the bank. And I just want to know if that's bad or is that something
Not in my opinion. I think you could have as many different accounts as you want. The issue is, do you all know what's in them, and you have a plan and you're working it together and you've thought through the, you know, you got, like you say, his name is on yours in case there's, you know, something happens to you, he can get to that and vice versa. I don't think the issue is so much having one bank account versus two. What happens with two bank accounts with some people is they have hidden money, or they do it, they keep it themselves, they manage it separately. They don't want their spouse to know because they don't trust them and this, that, and the other thing. And Teresa, that's where the problem is. It's not so much that, hey, we're managing it this way. As long as we're doing it together, that's the key.
We do. We both have each other's name on our accounts. But again, I got us a car loan at a great rate because I was with the credit union and I was there for so long.
There you go.
As opposed to his bank, you know. So that's all. Thank you for
having me. That's good. You're welcome.
Love to do the show.
Thank you. Thank you. We'll do that. It's a good topic. Thank you, Teresa. Let me go to Natasha in New Mexico. Yes. Hi there, Natasha. How you doing?
Hello. I'm doing well, Dr. Randy.
Good. Appreciate your call. How are you and your husband dealing with differences, and what are they?
Well, we're very different. I'm a head person, and he's a hand person.
Oh.
We did do the quiz on your website.
Oh, good.
It was such a wonderful experience because I think we both realized what the differences were and how we're different, and that it's not a bad thing. You know, I don't expect him to be like me, and he doesn't expect me to be like him. We embrace the differences. But when things do get tough, we're able to now, understanding what those differences are, now we're able to kind of go, oh, yes, that's a head thing, or that's a heart thing, or that's a, you know. And so we can kind of separate out those things and step into each other's shoes a little bit better. So
that's
we
great.
Tease that he's the kind that will just jump into the pool no matter if what's in the pool. And I kind of walk around and make sure everything's great before I'm going to get in. So we have to come to the middle, but it's been a great experience just having the knowledge of what our differences are.
Well, I'm glad you took that quiz. I don't mention that often, but it's available on our website. What you find between being a head and hand is that, like my friend Gary Chapman says, when you speak the love language of your spouse, in your case, you want to know and information's important and you like to think about it. And when your husband does that, you feel loved. And he's let's go get it, let's go do it, and let's get it done. And and when you're spontaneous with him on that, he probably appreciates that as well.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So we really appreciate your website. We really appreciate all that you're doing on the radio because it really is effective.
Well, thank you, Natasha. Very encouraging. Have a great day in New Mexico.
You too. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
People are saying, what is that quiz? I don't mention that, but if you go to our website, theintentionallife.com, and I should know this, but I think if you hit the Intentional One Thing Challenge, it opens up there for you. We have four videos that I've created. They're each about 9 minutes each. Talk about goal setting, developing habits, overcoming obstacles, finishing strong. And then also that gives you access. All this free. It's all part of our ministry. It's our partners make all this possible to you. When it says learn more, right on the homepage and right in the middle on the top, the purple box, click on the Intentional One Thing Challenge. We got 49,432 people have done so. All the information's there, and you can also get to that little quiz that I put together. It's a little quiz. You fill it in. It kind of lets you see how, you know, are you a head person, you're a heart person, hand person, what the difference is. So check it out. All right. Let me see. Do I have time? No. All right. Hang on, Brandon. I'll get you off air here, and we'll talk for a later program. We're talking about when opposites attract today. At the end of the day, the message, the purpose of this program was to let you know that there are opposites. And when we allow those to become the things that divide us and separate us and hurt us and damage us, Satan wins. But when we learn to smile sometimes, compromise sometimes, negotiate sometimes, and strengthen our relationship around our strengths, that's a good thing. That's what God wants for us in our marriage. When opposites attract. Here's what I have found. Sometimes when you face a difficult change in life, it creates such a sense of disequilibrium in your life.
You want to rush through it to get back to equilibrium. This is one of the reasons a person, maybe you know, who's going through a divorce, and before the divorce is even over, they're involved with another person. And you're standing back looking at that saying, how could you be doing that? That's such a foolish thing to do. But there's something within this sense of equilibrium. This person wants to get back to what they think is normal, a relationship, or, you know, connecting or having their life be back at some normal level. And so they rush through it. And I think that when we go through changes, no matter what they may be in your life, to just stop and not rush through it. God, what can I learn going through this change in my life? What are you trying to teach me as I go through this change? The lesson for this month for our members, which has been received by most of you by now, I would assume, I got my copy in the mail this week, focuses on this topic of growing through change. Change is inevitable. The law of change states that everything is changing. Nothing stays the same. Either things are getting stronger or weaker, better or worse, but they don't stay the same. Nothing. Everything is in a constant state of deterioration, so we have to work on it. So how do you grow through change? How do you take the changes in your life and grow through them? And members, I'd love to get your feedback after you listen to the teaching. What changes you've been through? How can we pray with you as you go through changes in your life? This ministry to our members is a monthly CD coming your way. Watch for it. And I'm very excited to announce that starting this summer will be two CDs, additional teaching. It's going to be at least two or three different sessions on these two CDs. And it'll be our way of just increasing the amount of content and biblical help that we can give to our membership family. And by the way, if you're not a member of Intentional Living, which is a ministry funded separate from the radio station, it's a ministry that's dedicated to helping people around the world live intentionally in Jesus Christ, and in turn allowing us to present material and resources and events to strengthen homes and families and marriages and business, we invite you to come and join us. In fact, if you do, even here at the end of the month, if you're not a member, if you joined us today, as I understand it, we'll get this teaching out to you to get started, growing through change, and then you'll receive the May teaching and the June teaching every month, a brand new teaching from me to you. You can join today. It's very simple. Just go to theintentionallife.com. The address there is theintentionallife.com. Click on the donate button, and you can sign up there. Or if you'd like to talk to one of our staff, you can call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. I'm Randy Carlson. Sibling rivalry coming up real soon on a future topic as we talk about kids. When they have rivalries, how do you handle it as a parent? We'll see you next time. Right.